Hey Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 22 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we are going to be recapping episodes 3 through 5 of Blue Spring Ride. Let's dig in. Shoujo fans, it is Editing Gianna here. Before we get into this week's episode, here is a quick word from our friends over at Cartoon Boom.
Do you ever miss that feeling from childhood of sitting down on a Saturday morning ready to watch your favorite cartoons? Well, so do we. That's why we've created Cartoon Boom. It's a podcast that talks about all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. So join Joseph and Chris every Saturday morning for your weekly dose of nostalgia and excitement. Brought to you by Nerdsloth.com. Visit Nerdsloth.com for more info.
Last week, we left off with Futaba standing up for herself and Makita to Asumi and Chie and severing ties with them. The excitement of a real friendship beginning makes her want to seek out Ko, who she now calls by first name, and tell him all about it. So, that brings us into episode 3. Here is our soft serve summary. Tanaka-sensei is revealed to be Ko's brother. Futaba learns from Ko that a lot was going on with his family, and he thought she hated boys, and that's why he didn't meet her at the summer festival in middle school. Going into her second year of high school, Futaba finds herself in class with Makita Morao, who is the girl who was speaking to Tanaka-sensei at the end of the last episode in the hallway, Kominato, who was the blonde boy who was also in the hallway with her, and, surprisingly, Ko. Futaba overhears Ko talking to other boys in class, and it turns out that he was supposed to be in the advanced class, but has dropped down into the regular track. With it being a new year, a new student council committee has to be nominated. Nobody wants to be the class representative, so Futaba volunteers. To her surprise, Ko volunteers to be the male representative. Morao, Makita, and Kominato all join the student council committee too, bringing Futaba's second year of high school off to an interesting start. And that's our soft-serve summary. So Chika, do you have a theme idea for this episode?
I feel like it doesn't necessarily make sense.
Okay.
So I came up with only give up on lost causes.
Okay, wow, that's really interesting.
Right, because...
Honestly, oh sorry, no, go ahead. I was going to say I don't even have a theme because there was nothing cohesive in this for me.
Right, I feel like I just picked up on a certain scene and I was just like, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it encompasses the whole episode. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I feel like maybe there was less thematic writing going on for a couple of the episodes this week, and it was more just story and character development.
Yeah.
But that's okay, too. Like, not everything needs to have, like, this central big message or something. But maybe I'm just telling myself that because I didn't write themes for 2 out of 3 episodes this week.
No, it's fine. I tried coming up with themes. I think I have themes for all of them, but I just have one sprinkle on top because I tried.
Is your sprinkle on top for this episode?
No, it's for the last one.
Okay, because I do not have any sprinkles on top either.
Okay.
We can move right into Floats Your Boat.
Yeah.
So right at the very beginning of the episode, there's a middle school flashback where we hear Futaba remember, when our eyes met, we'd always look away once and we'd make eye contact again. And like... There was just something about that that was so darn cute that made my heart flutter. So that's why it's in my Floats Your Boat. It was just so wholesome and adorable.
Oh, it was in my banana split.
Oh, no. Oh, they were so shy.
It was so cute, right?
Yeah.
But the thing about it for me is that seeing them that way made me wish that Futaba did more when it came to him trying to confess to her. I feel like that should have been a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know hindsight is 20/20. So it's like, you can see different memories and it's like, oh, like this is what happened and this is what happened. And I wonder if, you know, every episode, are we going to get a flashback like that? Because it just makes me a little upset that she just didn't push herself a little harder to try to make things work or to try to backpedal on being like, I hate boys and whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I really think that there was a lot more she could have done to make her feelings clear.
Yeah.
But like, I understand also, like, they were so young. So like, I shouldn't give them too much credit for like communicating something that's vulnerable and kind of scary like that.
True.
But I stand by what I had said last week when she absolutely could have not yelled that she hated all boys in front of the one boy who was her exception.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And like, I guess sort of to get into Float Your Boat, something that I liked is just that her mind just went to the gutter. And like, Tanaka sensei and Ko look just alike.
They do. They really do.
Even like the mole. I don't know if the mole is on the same side of their face, but they both have like the mole, the same eye color. It's like when you see those people that have kids and like all of the kids look exactly the same. Yeah. And so when she was just like, oh, he's going to your house. And I'm just like, girl, what? He had to pull her face because he knew that her mind was just gone. Like, that was so funny.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Just like, what kind of conclusions does she have to draw from that? Because like you said, they really do look the same. And she knew his name was Tanaka as well. So it just... It makes no sense, but it's really silly.
Yeah, and Tanaka-sensei, once they started arguing, then he starts dancing around them because he's just like, ooh, I'm getting all the tea from this. It's so funny.
I love him. I adore him.
Yeah, me too.
I do appreciate Ko kind of explaining and apologizing for standing her up at the summer festival.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that he feels more comfortable opening up more to her down the line.
Yeah, that was a banana split for me too.
And no, yeah, I probably should have put it in banana split, but I think I was just trying to stay positive.
Yeah. I think the reason why I put it in banana split was just that, like, she was in it. So I fully side with her in saying that he pulled her into his business because he like ran off with her. And so she's just trying to like learn more.
Yeah.
And he's super sensitive about it. And it's just like, there's a better way to say it. Like, you know what? I don't really feel like getting into that right now or whatever. Not just being like, it's none of your business. And it's like, you are literally holding on to her. You're making it her business. And I feel like the fact that she started crying and then it's like he apologized, but I just didn't like the way that he did it because it's like, oh, like you're stupid or I don't remember what he said, but it was like some insult and then going into, oh, I'm resting my head on your shoulder. I'm going to apologize for just not showing up.
Yeah. I should have put this in banana split because I'm totally on the same page as you.
Yeah.
The way he like flip flops from like insulting her and complimenting her is terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're in Float Your Boat. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm ruining Float Your Boat. But like, yeah.
Don't feel bad. Like, I think this episode of our podcast, it's just going to be us hating his mixed signals. Because I think that goes into that in like the next episode. I hate with a passion his mixed signals. Like, what he does, that girl is dizzy.
Yes.
What he does to her, one moment like this, like Jekyll and Hyde, it's like, oh my gosh. But anyway, yeah. Float Your Boat.
Yeah, Float Your Boat. Okay, wait, here's a real Float Your Boat, really quick. Futaba tries to negate rumors that she overhears about Makita by immediately running up and being sweet to her. She's like, oh, look, I'm using the phone charm you gave me. I thought that was really, really cute and really sweet.
I was so proud of her for, like, doing that because, like, in that situation, first of all, I will never understand people talking in earshot on someone else. And it's just like, bro, instead of looking to the front, I'll be looking at you. Like, should I join this conversation? Since you're bringing up my name. But I was so proud of her for putting in that effort and trying to stand up for her. And I feel like in general, something that I'm just proud of Futaba is her desire to just start from scratch. Like, I can have a fresh start. I can make this experience the way that I want to make it.
Yeah.
And so her doing that was really sweet, even though she had to get a little sad because her confronting think Asumi and Chie, somehow she's the bully. And it's like, I don't know how she's the bully. Like, do y'all know what Asumi and Chie, they would have been talking about you too. Like,
yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also really admire that about Futaba, even though, again, the way Ko had said it to her in one of the episodes last week, about, what was it, her not being strong enough for...
Or, like, her being cheap or something.
Yeah, yeah. Even though, like, the way she came to the conclusion to, I guess, I don't want to say change, because that implies that, like, Ko changed her, and that's not it. I feel like she came to this conclusion on her own, even though it was kind of influenced by what Ko had said. I'm a person who is always kind of checking myself and trying to continually be growing in some way.
Yeah.
So seeing this represented through an anime character who sees something she wants to change about herself and goes out of her comfort zone to do so is really inspiring.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like, I'm the same way. I try to be a better person, a better listener, a better friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, you know, those changes that I make, it's not because of a mixed signally boy.
No, hell no.
like I said last week, once you called me cheap, that shit, this romance is done.
Yeah, that would have been over for me. It would have been like Blue Spring ride into the parking lot, park the car and get out and walk away.
Like Blue Spring ride to, I don't know, what is it? Match? What are the things now? Match, Tinder, well not
Tinder, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge.
Blue Spring ride, Hinge. Because you ain't finna play me.
Blue Hinge ride.
Blue
That's the title of this episode.
Yes, Blue Hinge ride. Yeah, that's what it would have been, because I'm not going to let you insult me. But still, I'm glad that she's making positive changes in her life. That's the most important thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's actually all of my floats your boat.
Oh, I just have one more.
Okay.
I just thought it was really cute watching all of our main characters kind of assemble into a party at the class representative nominations thing. It was just nice seeing them all come together, knowing that we're going to see all of their character development and growth from here going forward.
Yeah. I think for that, I was just particularly happy about Makita.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to, like, leave Futaba hanging.
Yeah.
But she signed up too, and I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
So, getting formally into Banana Split, I have one, and it's immediately, I'm like, this should be an ice cream, you scream. Do you have any real banana splits, or did we go through them?
I have one last banana split.
Okay.
It's about her being class representative, actually.
Okay.
So, the reason why I have it in Banana Split is because Tanaka-sensei clearly told her to, like, be a class representative, because that's, like, what he manages, I guess, as a teacher. I think he just manages all of the class representatives, but I don't know if I'm just making that shit up. But, or at least her specific class, he manages them in some way, shape, or form.
I think so.
Yeah, and so I feel like while it's valid that, you know, it's good to have a full high school experience, there is more to high school, guys, than being on student council. There's sports, there's different clubs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because she said, oh, I don't think I'm suited to it, which we kind of learn why in another episode, I feel like while I understand him telling her, oh, you know what, you could be a class representative, but I just wish that she was able to have more options. I think if she had more options and she was just like, you know what, class representative fits, I would have been okay with the episode. But it just felt at that moment that she's just easily influenced by the people that are sort of kind to her and in her life. So Ko, like, so being sort of kind to her at times and saying, like, that she has, like, cheap friendships and everything, and she should get better friendships or something. Okay, she got a better friendship, and he's, like, the first person she tells, and he's still sort of a dick. And then his brother is not a dick, but it's, like, he tells her, oh, you could be a class representative, and then the time comes, and you just decide to be a class representative, even though you said you don't think it would personally, like, suit you. And so for me, I would have wished that we could see more development in that, or like more options, like I said, for her, so that her choosing this is because, oh, she wants to do it, and not just because, oh, this is what the last thing someone told me to do.
Yeah, and I feel like it would have been a really interesting, even like standalone episode where maybe there's like a club fair and Futaba tries out a bunch of different clubs and maybe she ends up on class representative thinking that that's how she wants to contribute.
Yeah.
Or maybe she joins some other really fun club and we like follow her on a slightly different journey.
Right, and it's like, you know, she likes to eat. Maybe there's a cooking club.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they're cutesy. I don't know if maybe, I guess I'm sort of thinking about that anime Sanrio Boys, which is like total product placement for all Sanrio merchandise, where I think the gist of it is that there are boys that love Sanrio and they have Sanrio items, all of the different names, not just Hello Kitty or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And they sort of make a group based off of it.
That's cute.
Which is, yeah, it's like they all bond over that and that's their sort of group or club. And so it's just like, okay, well, I don't know what that bunny thing that Makita gave them, but maybe there's a group that's like, oh, that's all we talk about is whatever this bunny franchise thing is from. I would just would have liked to see her have more options.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that take. I guess we're gonna go into Ice Cream, You Scream. I didn't realize that we were gonna like bring the heat like full on for this episode, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's just, I'm sorry, like
we're all fired up.
Ko, oh my god. Okay. No, Ko, no.
No.
But just, you're bad, bad Ko.
Bad Ko. Honestly, this was originally in Banana Split because I was so thrilled that Tanaka Sensei was going to come over and cook dinner for Ko. Because one, he likes cats and he can cook, sign me up.
Right?
And also, just like so sweet that he's gonna go cook for his brother. That's just so thoughtful and considerate. But then Ko stands him up and he's like sitting alone at the dinner table eating by himself and Ko's food's getting cold and my heart's breaking. I was so angry.
The thing about it for me is that even if you agree to disagree with a relative, if you're still cordial enough that you can talk to him in the hallway, if he's cooking for you, I don't see why you can't just eat. Why not show up and just refuse to talk about whatever it is you don't want to talk about? But somebody going that extra mile for you, that was offensive for me. Because, I mean, I have siblings as well, but like, we aren't really as close as we could be. And it, for me, I just accepted that as like, you know, it is what it is. But if they went out of their way to cook something for me, I wouldn't take that for granted, because that means, oh, you thought about me enough that you wanted to make sure that I ate something.
Yeah.
So why not eat? If you can't talk about family stuff, y'all can talk about current events, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm sure they have other things that they can bond over. Like, nobody wants to talk about something that's going to make them lose their appetite while they're eating.
Right.
So I'm sure it would have been a fine meal experience, if maybe not a little uncomfortable afterwards. Like, this honestly makes me want to, like, hit up my brother and be like, hey, I should come cook you dinner sometime, just because, like, that sounds so nice, just like sharing a meal with your sibling.
Yeah, I think it's very important and stuff, because having family ties is important.
Yes.
And people aren't always going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. And I think I wrote this in an Ice Cream, You Scream. Maybe it was for the next episode, but it sort of still applies for this because, you know, he's in that house. I feel like Ko is taking his family for granted in such a hard way, because how is it that you are staying in this house, your family home, on your own? How is that allowed?
Yeah, that boggles my mind too. Like, I'm trying to make sense of it, and every time I just come to the conclusion that I just need to suspend my disbelief, because I don't know.
It's like, okay, if you're emancipated, wouldn't you be in your own place? But then if you're in your parents' place, then who's paying the bills? And so then if someone's paying the bills, then I don't know, the least you can do is like talk to whoever's paying the damn bills. I mean, I don't think that it's his brother, but still, like, I feel like he is essentially punishing everybody for his parents getting divorced, and or not punishing everybody. He's punishing Futaba and I guess his family in a way for his parents getting divorced. And I think that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I think it's some twisted defense mechanism that I guess watching his parents' relationship fall apart, he doesn't want to get close to anybody or let anybody close to him because he sees what could happen. So that's just what what I think.
Yeah, but I feel like at that point, you know, if you're staying in that house, you know what? Something I would make mandatory is therapy.
Yes.
You know, therapy in general. Therapy helps. And I feel like I would have made that a mandatory thing. Okay, you want to stay in this house and somebody's paying the bills so that you got the lights on, you got whatever heating you've got. I don't know if that house is paid off.
No, yeah. No idea.
No idea. So it's just like, I would make it matter. Go, you need to go to therapy because what the hell is going on with you? And I guess, let me see if there's really anything else. I feel like everything sort of compounded into that point of the way he deals with his family. Oh, I have one about morale.
Oh, okay. I had two, like, little quote things that were pretty quick.
Okay.
Because we've already talked enough about, like, how mean Ko is, but just, like, one thing he said in particular that I had to write down the quote because I felt a fire burn within me was when Tanaka-sensei asks Ko if he's dating Futaba, he refutes it by saying, what, dating someone who eats more than me?
Mm.
I don't know where to begin to unpack that, and I don't know if I can, but that's just some shit. Like, everybody requires a different amount of food, okay? Like, eat when you're hungry and just eat food. It's good for you. You have to eat.
It's like a dash of fat phobia I didn't need. And it's like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
If she wants to eat extra bread, that bread tastes like shit, guys. I told you in the last episode. But still, she wants to eat extra bread. She can eat extra fucking bread, even if it's shitty. But like, him doing that, I thought that was messed up. Something else I thought was messed up, I don't think I wrote it down. The fact that he just lied and said that, oh, his brother is making a pass at a student.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I wrote that down too. That is not a light accusation. He can lose his job over it. There could be an entire investigation that he like can't be at school to work for, like during.
He can lose his job. He can lose his license. They can put him on the offender list. Jesus wept. Just because you didn't want to answer like a question. And so at that point, it's like, as much as it's annoying for me to see Futaba, you know, her inclination to lie about certain things when she can be truthful, like he does that same shit too, and like to a level that's even worse than her. Because like, it's one thing to say, oh, I hate all boys because somebody's being nosy, and it's another thing to accuse your brother of coming on to a female student.
Yeah,
like,
oh my God,
that's a stigma that will never go away. And him just saying, oh, that's a lie, why would they believe him?
Right, because no matter what he says, like, first off, he's probably shocked and panicked, and looking shocked and panicked could also make him look guilty.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And then they ran away too.
Yeah. I'm glad that that's where it ended. And I guess it was supposed to be funny, but like it really wasn't.
And he cooked for him. I'm like, oh my gosh, he like literally almost ruined your life.
He went home and cooked for this boy and then he got stood up by him. I don't like Ko. That's a hot fudge. I don't like Ko. No, it's not really a hot fudge.
Yeah,
but
I don't really mess with him. I am so glad he's not based on Taemin, because let me tell you something. Lee Taemin would never do this shit. I can tell you that right now. And I don't even know that man. I'm just his fan. He would never do this.
Oh my God, I would hope not.
Yeah.
Also, to add on that moment that he was like avoiding the question, Ko goes on this rant, like right in front of his brother, like to Futaba, saying that he was lying about loving her when they were kids, making it sound like it was always one-sided. Even just watching this, I could just like, it was like he was throwing knives at her. It was intense.
Just gaslighting her.
Yes.
Oh my God. Just no. Just sick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like him like that, for real.
No.
He plays too many games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to get his act together big, big, big time for me to feel any better about this boy.
Right, same.
Move mountains.
All of the mountains.
Yeah. I had one last I Scream, You Scream. Do you have one?
Yeah, same. I have one. It's about morale. So I put in I Scream, You Scream because it's like, I've been had an inkling since our last podcast episode. I'm just like, the way she's looking at Tanaka-sensei, I can read the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when it came time to do this representative stuff and then she volunteered, I literally wrote that out. I'm like, did she become event representative because she wanted to be closer to this teacher?
Ugh.
Girl, first of all, outside of the fact that he'd literally be risking his license, his life, if they have sex offender lists in Japan or whatever, to be going out with you, why would he want to go out with you? I know that's kind of mean.
No, it's not.
But it's just like...
I don't think so.
What about you do you think he would be attracted to? You're antisocial. You seem only motivated to be with a man. But then, just because you like somebody, doesn't mean that you should necessarily be in a relationship with them. That you have to bring things within that relationship. It's like, okay, well, even if he's a more boisterous one, what would you bring to the table outside of risk?
Yeah, I think I touch on it a little bit more in the next one, but it's just not appropriate.
It's not.
And I hope that she backs off.
Same. Oh, what's your ice cream you scream?
It was just kind of a reactionary thing, so I don't really have too much to say about it. It was just a callback to the original flashback at the beginning of the episode where I was like heart aflutter kind of thing when she was like, we would make eye contact, then we'd look away, and then we'd make eye contact again. And later in the episode, she's talking to Ko and thinking to herself, right now we're making eye contact, but it feels like he's not looking anywhere. And I was just internally screaming, so I figured I should write it down.
Yeah. No, like, especially when they start talking about his family, it's like he's looking through her ass because he doesn't want to talk about that shit. Even though he brought her into it. But
yeah,
I hate when partners do that.
Yeah, I think communication is truly the glue of a relationship. Being able to communicate calmly, honestly, openly, and well, and it is such a hard thing to learn how to do. I am still getting better at it myself. I've come a long way, and like, these are high schoolers, so like, I can imagine they've got a long way to go, Ko especially. But yeah, maybe that's the theme of the episode, about how important communication is to a relationship, because dear Lord.
True, actually, that's the better theme. That's the theme.
Thanks. Do you want to move into episode 4?
Yeah.
All right, so episode 4, page 4, a soft serve summary. Written by me, by the way, guys, I really, honestly, funny fact, I Googled for summaries because I was feeling a little bit lazy, and every summary everywhere of any episode of Blue Spring Ride is one sentence long.
Right.
So I had to go back and write these myself, so I hope that it covers enough of, I definitely wrote a lot for the summaries for these two episodes, but hopefully it covers enough.
I feel like it will, just because like one sentence is not enough to cover all the stuff that happened.
No, absolutely not.
Right, especially from our experience like with other media that we've covered, in particular like Maid-sama. The Maid-sama summaries, they tell you everything that happens in that episode.
Yeah, I think I still liked to write my own for Maid-sama anyway, because it was just kind of fun. I think it was so nostalgic for me too. Listen to our Maid-sama episodes, guys. It's our baby episodes.
Yeah, and one day we'll do a manga retrospective.
Yes, when you finally get the rest of them.
When I get the rest of them, then we'll do a manga retrospective. But yeah.
Yes. Okay, sorry. Here's our soft serve summary of episode 4. The class representatives were going on an overnight retreat. On the way there, Futaba and Ko get on the wrong train, which causes tension between them and their team, and also the faculty. Ko and Futaba are ordered to write apologies for not being on time. The tensions rise at lunch, and Morale scolds Ko for being late, saying that his actions reflect not only on him, but his brother Tanaka-sensei as well. During orientation with the representatives from other classes, Futaba's group didn't write a report for the discussion, and they end up being called on by faculty to share what they'd written. All Futaba wrote in the essay section was happy memories, and Ko was able to completely wing a well-thought-out response to the question he was asked. Tanaka-sensei even tried to trip him up, but Ko didn't waver. Later that night, Ko finds Futaba with her head down at a table, unable to write her apology. He sits down opposite her and lays his head down too. Futaba impulsively snuggles her face into the back of his head. He takes her hand, sits up, and asks her if she loves him. She avoids the question, calling him overconfident. Ko then pushes her away, saying he doesn't feel that way about her. He didn't want to give her the wrong impression. Futaba says she doesn't love him either, but she does want to learn about him. He tells her to stop searching for the old him, and that she's changed too. The next day, Makita stumbles on Morale trying to come onto Tanaka-sensei while they're cleaning. She's tugging on his sleeve and she doesn't want to join her classmates. But Tanaka-sensei keeps insisting that she go away and that he's a teacher, so she can't be doing this. Later, Futaba witnesses a girl confessing her love to Ko and ends up running into some third-year boys in the process. Each of them tries to say that Futaba was about to confess to them when Ko comes to her rescue and says she's his girlfriend. He pulls her away from the boys and they walk back, holding hands. Futaba clarifies that Ko doesn't have a girlfriend or she might be upset that they're holding hands. He says he doesn't. And so it's okay. And that's episode 4 to the best of my ability.
Good job, man. Okay, you did a good job.
Thank you. Do you have a theme?
I said mixed signals will be the death of us.
Okay, wait, I don't have a theme, but can I just say that that's my theme too? Because that's actually it.
Yeah, I wrote that when I was watching this episode. I was so over it, guys. Ooh.
Oh my god. Me too. At the table at night. My god. Okay, well, before we get to that, we do gotta get through. Oh, do you have a sprinkle on top?
No.
Okay, yeah. Before we get to that, we gotta get through Floats Your Boat. So, I guess to start off, my initial reaction when the episode opened was that Futaba's thinking about how they're having an overnight retreat, and immediately I'm like, oh, it's an overnight retreat. I wonder what kind of shenanigans this will bring about.
What I thought was hilarious is just, like, she kept ringing the doorbell because she knew he was by himself, so she was just like, oh, I'm gonna wreak havoc with this bell. And then he comes out shirtless, which I'm just kind of like, he missed arm day and like, okay, but sure, Dan, I don't know. I was like, okay, his brother's more my speed, but I'm like, oh, okay. And then she's flipping out, and I thought her flipping out about him being bare-chested was hilarious.
I actually, that's my only banana split.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, okay, it was funny, but it was to the point where it was just a little too big of a reaction for me. Because I understand being surprised to unexpectedly see your crush with your shirt off is, like, shocking and you're in high school or whatever, but I feel like the way she reacted when he opened the door was like there was a murder scene behind it. Like, she screamed at the top of her lungs and wouldn't stop.
You know what? I feel like Futaba is a bit emotionally stunted.
Okay, I could see that.
And I feel like that's why she just harps on her memories, even when it comes to their flashbacks, because I think, I'm not trying to be mean either, but I feel like her emotional maturity sort of ended in middle school, and then she was just trying to be someone she wasn't for like an entire year. And so now that she has to technically start fresh, it's like starting back from that point. So she's starting back emotionally from that middle school point rather than she's grown, this is high school, come on.
Right. Actually, that's super interesting. And I absolutely agree. That makes a lot of sense to me. Because if she was just being what she thought others wanted her to be for the last like year or 2 years or however many, then she wasn't growing at all. And she just has to start from where she was back then. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, I think that's how she is. I think that also explains why she's accepting this mixed signal like mess from him.
Yeah.
Because I can only see somebody younger accepting that type of shit. Because like, I feel like even in high school, after a certain point, I mean, yes, the cheap thing, but it's like, how many times does he have to insult you for you to just be like, fuck this dude?
Yeah, you gotta learn your self-worth at a point.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, at like the beginning of the episode, I just thought it was a fun subversion of expectations to have Futaba and Ko get lost instead of having everything go to plan and then like show up at this overnight thing and then whatever happens, happens. I liked that they got lost. I thought that was just, I don't know, mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it made it different. I felt like, or at least at that point, I didn't like the fact that she was scatterbrained at that moment. Oh. It was just kind of like, okay, you left the bag, then you didn't look to see where you're supposed to be going. So I just felt bad for them and for Tanaka-sensei because he got like fussed out.
Oh, yeah. I felt bad that he got the heat.
I do like the fact that it was like a subversion of expectations because usually it's like, oh, the people around you get lost and then y'all are just staying in place or something. Like, it was different. So I do like that. It's just the actual facts that they did mess up, I didn't because I was just like, oh, those poor people that were waiting on them.
It did kind of cause a lot of tension, but it was very, very cute when Makita just turns to Futaba at the lunch table after everybody's like super upset and angry, and she's just like, let's do our best, and like flowers and sparkles surround her. It was really funny.
Yes! I love Makita so much. And then, oh my gosh, and then Komi Nato, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how you say his name. He steals her muffin and then all of a sudden, she's like, we've been seeing this girl cutesy this whole time, even when she was getting bullied. And this guy takes her muffin and she's just like, it's war.
I can relate strongly to this. I would be the same way.
You didn't even ask her. You just took it. And so at that point, but I mean, it didn't happen because I guess, you know, Futaba loves bread too much. I thought that Futaba was going to give her her muffin.
Aw, that would have been cute.
Either way, it was cute seeing Makita get angry.
Yes. I love her tiny rage.
And like the way that they drew it out too. It was so fun.
Yes. Also, when they were having to give that, basically that bullshit report because I didn't write anything. Honestly, if I'm going to give Ko anything, it's going to be that he nailed it. He absolutely nailed completely winging it. Like A plus improvisation.
Yeah, same floats your boat for me. I was just like, oh, he did his best. And you know, his brother, because oh, I hate when family members do this. Like you be talking about something else and then they like use you talking about whatever it is to try to enforce this lesson on you. And it's like, you have to do this shit here. Like,
right.
Really? Like, okay. But yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah. I just have a couple more floats your boats. Do you have, like, anything big?
I think it was post the head nuzzle thing when they were, like, a little mad.
Yeah, the head nuzzle itself is a floats your boat, but nothing else in that scene.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
I didn't even put it down. Like, it irritated me that much.
It was overshadowed too much.
I was like, you know what? No. I think post that, and then also when she thought that, when she saw Ko getting confessed to. So those are my two remaining.
I just liked the way that Tanaka sensei shut down morale just entirely.
Oh yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like he was not having any of it. He wasn't feeding into it at all. He was just trying to make her go away.
Yeah, I was proud of him. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, what does she bring to the table? Like, but yeah. Regardless, it's like the fact that she even like pushed it to like, oh, I'm holding onto your sleeve. And it's like, do you think after he told you no, that you holding onto his sleeve, like, that's attractive? No, it's not.
Yeah.
It makes you look more childish, honestly, girl, with your twin tails.
And the twin tails, yeah.
Right, it makes her look more childish. And it's like, you liking some, I don't know, because he's grown too, right?
Yeah.
And I hope, please God, I do not want to see this, but it's like, he's grown. So he wants to go, he'd probably want to go after a grown woman. And you know what a grown woman has in compared to like morale? Feminine wiles. Nobody's going to be attracted to somebody holding on to them in twin tails, girl. And I'm not saying that because like, oh, she should be more seductive. I'm saying that in she should give up.
I'm saying that like she's an actual child who's wearing twin tails and should go away from this grown man.
Yes, right. Like, I don't know how many times he has to reject her. And the thing about it is that if anybody caught them, right? Like, not Makita, if another staff person caught them, the fact that she was holding on to his shirt like that, it would still look bad on him. And he was saying no.
Yeah, it would.
Even if he, like, shrugged her off. I mean, I would have preferred if he, like, shrugged her off or tried to do that. But it's like, you can't do it too forcefully because then something could happen. I feel bad for him because it's like, the way that she is, you don't even know if she's vindictive. So, like, oh, he said no. And it's like, well, if I can't have you, nobody can, and I'm gonna lie and act as if we were together. It's such a very sticky situation to navigate, so I feel like he did his best.
Yeah, he really did. I think I actually had a point that I missed that actually piggybacks off of something you said towards the end of the episode after he saves her from those third years. I did think it was cute when they were holding hands and she's like, how long are you going to hold my hand? And he's like, a little longer, try to bear with it. Like, that was kind of cute. Like, that's the cute kind of teasing that works. Hopefully Ko is learning.
I feel like for me, I liked when they were mad at each other and finishing each other's sentences. I thought that that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Although he was still irritating. But I think the fact that she didn't even notice that she was hiding behind men and watching this confession was so funny.
That was very funny.
I feel like that's the end of it because I didn't actually like him holding her hand. But that's...
Oh, okay.
I think I put that in Ice Cream, You Scream, so I can hold off on, like, why.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want me to say it now.
If you don't have any banana splits, you can go right into Ice Cream, You Scream, because I said my banana split already.
You know what? No. Yeah, so let's just go into Ice Cream, You Scream.
Okay.
Okay, so aside from her being sort of scatterbrained and whatever, I feel like the reason why I dislike him calling her his girlfriend is because he's always doing these mixed signals and stuff with her.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you don't want her, or you keep saying you don't want her, but you don't want anybody else to have her. And I don't like that. I don't like that sort of possessive, because it messes with her head, especially after we had the head nuzzle scene, which for me, it's like, if I had to place it, it would be an Ice Cream, You Scream, is because, I mean, aside from the fact that she's emotionally mature, who would pat your head and literally, like, kiss the back? Of course she fucking likes you.
Right.
I don't even know why you would ask that question. But then it's like, you can tell she's still developing whatever feelings that she has, because she's trying to reconcile who he used to be to who he is now. But because she just doesn't admit that she likes him, which is, like, also in the same way that I said, like, what does morale bring to the table? What does he bring to the table from being so mixed signally, from calling her cheap, calling her incompetent, calling her, like saying so many negative things about her?
Yeah, like, is that the energy you want in a relationship? Because absolutely not.
No, like, you would not want somebody, and it's not in a teasing, I don't know how you can tease about calling somebody cheap, but it's not in a teasing way of, like, I'm sort of poking at, like, different things that I noticed about you that I like about, no, like, he's saying very harsh things to her.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would like that. So she's not going to admit it. And I feel that he turns on his understanding for her when it suits him. Like, he'll understand where she's coming from, and then he'll, like, change it because it doesn't suit how he's personally feeling. And so it's just like, you're reiterating that you don't even like her the night prior, and then two guys are talking to her, and it's like, is she comfortable? No. And I've seen that before, where if you have somebody's hitting on you and you have a guy friend that saves you because, like, you're not in the space. Like, I fully endorse that. But it's the fact that he's sending her mixed signals all of the time that I just wish that even if they were, like, dating, he didn't have to hold her hand that long and stuff. It felt like overkill. And then with her, because of the fact she's emotionally stunted, she's just, like, happy about it. It's like, oh, like, well, if you have a girlfriend, like, I want to respect your relationship. And he's just like, oh, I don't have a girlfriend. Then she's like, oh, well, this is okay. And it's like, no, like, don't get into the habit of accepting stuff like that, that should be relationship type things with somebody that literally can say mean things about you in the next breath.
Yeah, yeah. It's just really not fair to her, the way he wants to be cute one second and, like, playfully tease one second, and then the next he's calling her incompetent and just insulting her.
It's so mean.
Yeah, all I can say is, like, that is not the energy somebody who has your best interests at heart should be bringing to the relationship, and should have, like, no space in your life, honestly.
Right. And it's like, the way that Makita is so genuine, you would want that type of response from a partner. Now, I'm not trying to make it Yuri, I'm not. But I feel like sometimes you can glean these things from different relationships that you have. You can, like, figure out what it is that you want. And she's figuring that out. And so it's like, I feel like she doesn't realize that him being nasty to her is actually a hard stop. You don't need to have that in order to have a relationship with somebody, especially in the beginning. And in the beginning, it's supposed to be like rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, honeymoon phase.
Yeah, roses, petals, like, I don't know, roses and petals, rose petals. you know, meet cute. It should be fun and inviting and memorable. It shouldn't be filled with you asking questions on his family and he's trying to literally bite her head off. It's also not him quite literally rejecting her the night before and then just like, oh, you're my girlfriend now and I'm just gonna hold your hand. That's not cool. But yeah, so that was actually the only true Ice Cream, You Scream that I have.
Yeah, I feel like we've already drilled Ko into the ground about his defense mechanism, so I don't really have to talk about that.
Yeah.
I also, like, the only other thing I guess I have to say, which is a much lighter point, is that I feel like everyone maybe got a little too angry at Ko and Futaba for getting lost when it was an honest mistake, but they, like, would not let them live it down.
And it was just like, Kominato's feeling some type of way. Morale went too fucking far.
Oh,
I'm just like...
Yeah, for her little crush.
You're not even dating him. Settle down. If Tanaka-sensei was in the premises, you wouldn't have said that shit, because who are you to say that? He can talk to his own fucking brother. In that moment, I wish that he would have been just as harsh as he was to Futaba when she was asking what was going on and he brought her into it. Morale's trying to force her way into his family and it's just like, no, mind your fucking business. How me and my brother deal with each other, that's our business.
Yeah.
We already apologized and we're here, but like, to hold a grudge, you're holding this grudge as if y'all even wanted to be part of this shit to begin with and we didn't have to corral you to be on this. Like, let's get this straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Super annoyed me.
Yeah. Same.
Are you ready to move into episode 5?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Episode 5. Page 5, a soft serve summary. The class representatives for each class at Futaba's school team up for orienteering. However, Futaba's group finds themselves lost in the woods. As they make their way out, they have to cross a river by hopping on rocks one by one. Futaba slips, hurting her ankle. Makita is too afraid to cross the rocks until Ko comes to her aid. As they navigate through the woods, Futaba tries to hide how much her foot is hurting, but Ko is very perceptive and insists she admit it. When she does, he offers her a piggyback ride the rest of the way. The group ends up coming in dead last for orienteering, but they grew closer along the way. At night, while they should be sleeping, Futaba tries to tell Makita that she felt insecure when she saw Makita having a private conversation earlier that day with Morale, and Makita reassures Futaba that she'll never leave her side. Futaba promises the same thing. Early in the morning, Futaba spots Ko walking outside. He says he woke up early to watch the sunrise. Since it's chilly out, he offers her his jacket. Since there was a little time before the sun would rise, Futaba decides to wake the others so they could watch it together. Despite going back inside, Futaba doesn't grab her own jacket and instead keeps Ko's on. He teases her for this. Everyone watches the sunrise together and heads home later that day. Ko waits with Futaba while she waits to be picked up. He gets excited over a black cat with one white paw and picks it up to snuggle it. As Futaba's ride arrives, she thanks him for waiting with her, and he says he just wanted to play with the cat. But she knew he'd say that. As they part ways, Futaba realizes that she's in love with this Ko, not middle school Ko. Right before she can fully form the thought, however, she receives a text from Makita saying that she, too, has fallen for Ko. And that is our soft serve summary of episode 5. So, Chica, what is your theme?
So, I actually don't have a theme. I have sprinkle on top, though. Sorry.
I have a theme for this one, so it's okay.
Yay! Okay.
We have it covered.
Yeah.
I just put teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
And also create as many happy memories as you can.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's perfect.
Oh, thanks. Well, what is your sprinkle on top?
So, it's sort of the mix. I thought that the sunrise is just going into the overall theme of this story, right? Or at least from Futaba's perspective, is that she's so dedicated to starting new and starting fresh. And what better way to do that with this group that she was trying to make it happen with than watching the sunrise together?
Oh, I love it.
Because it's a new day.
Yeah.
And then the slightly negative one is the cat. So obviously I like cats, guys. Like, don't get me wrong.
How dare you? No, I'm kidding.
The reason why I said it's the cat is because of the fact that, so Ko sees this cat and he's like playing with it. It's like, oh, look, it has this little sock. But does he take the cat home? Okay, he's not Uzui. So no, he just leaves the cat on the side of the road and just walks off, right? And I feel like that cat is Futaba. It's the mixed signals. He picks her up. He's like, oh, I'm so interested in you. Get away from me.
Oh my God. Oh, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, no, he is not glasses wearing Usui with a cat at home, unfortunately.
No, he's not. Although, I mean, I don't, let's not get into male ranking because it's like,
no.
To be honest, it's not like I really like.
No, truly. Yeah, no. It's not, we'll leave it at that. We'll not rank the males.
Yeah, we are not going to do that.
I don't really have a sprinkle on top, but I did just have like a thought while I was watching this and I didn't know where to put it except for Sprinkles on Top. Because I did watch Blue Spring Ride before, but it was back probably shortly after it came out, and I don't remember how it ends. I know I talked about this last week. But for some reason, this episode felt very familiar to me. I remembered them guessing about the ingredients in the drinks. I remember her hurting her foot. I remember them watching the sunrise outside. It kind of like unlocked memories for me as I watched it. So it's interesting that this one stuck in my brain somehow.
I think it's good in the fact that, you know, you said that the theme could be about like making happy memories. And so here you are coming upon a memory.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I'm unlocking happy memories watching this.
Yeah.
But speaking of happy things, let's get into Floats Your Boat. So do you have any Floats Your Boat for this episode?
I love Futaba's dedication in changing the vibe.
Yes.
I think she wants to just have overall like a great high school experience. She also wants the people around her to be enjoying it as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's just cute to see her effort and thought process and like, how can I make this better for people? Or everybody should remain calm. Or how do I get them more invested? So yeah.
Yeah, I loved in particular about that. Like Futaba and Kominato were like really excited and they're all fired up to win. And Futaba's thinking, she's like, oh, is everybody into it? And it cuts over to the other three and they're just like kind of there, like Makita's tying her shoe and the other two are like stoic. And she's like, I think they're kind of into it. It was really funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's just cute to see. Well, I guess we're also seeing like their character types in the same way of like, mm-hmm. Kominato's like into this sort of thing. Well, not like exploring in that sense, but doing group activities.
Yeah.
And everybody else is sort of like used to doing their own thing, but yeah, I think it's cute.
I think he's just like extroverted in that way.
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very sweet the way Makita reassures Futaba how happy she is to be friends with her when she senses that Futaba was insecure.
You know what? I also thought a little bit before that, just the fact that Futaba tried to figure out what they were talking about. And then when they wouldn't tell her, I was actually proud of her for not pressing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then for her to follow up to try to talk about it with Makita, I thought that that was great too. Like you said, well, I think it was great that Makita reassured her, but I was also proud of Futaba for attempting to like let Makita know like where she was coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My stuff is at the end of the episode, my last couple points. Do you have anything else?
I'm glad that they didn't get in trouble for getting lost.
Yes, that's very good.
Yeah. And yeah, it's basically the end. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know that we're all kind of flip-floppy on Ko and stuff, but I did think it was sweet that he let her keep his jacket on for the sunrise.
Yeah, yeah, because she's cold.
Yeah, and also his concern for her foot towards the end of the episode was kind of reassuring that he does care about her. I hate that I have to say it with that tone and that, like, question, but, like, you know, that's nice. Like, he doesn't even, like, have to articulate it. He just looks at her foot and she knows that, like, he's wondering if she's okay and she's able to reassure him that it's feeling better. And he's, like, telling her not to push it. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I thought it was nice as well. I like the sunrise thing. Although I feel like we sort of got into that enough during Sprinkle on Top.
Oh, yeah. I loved that. It was so beautiful. Like, it was one of those, something similar to what I said when we were watching Whisper of the Heart. It was one of those moments where it's like, this is what life is all about. Just watching people experience something beautiful together.
Yeah, and I feel like it kind of touched to the heart of what Futaba wanted. She wanted them to have a great orientation experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go exactly the way that she wanted. But in the end, like, they still were able to come together and, like, see something beautiful with one another.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cute.
Yeah, and I like that he waited until she got picked. I mean, although obviously I had feelings, but I like that he did wait until her mom came.
Yeah, even though he tried to like brush it off like he wasn't really waiting, it was nice that he did do that for her.
Yeah.
And I think he knew that she knew that he was waiting with her, but like I don't want to unpack all of it, but
right.
it shouldn't be that way, but I guess it is. I mean, I'm a cat girl and I did love his love for cats. I guess he's like his brother in that way, that they're both cat guys, the way he was like, look, it has one sock on. So cute.
I mean, it was cute. It's just that I wish he'd taken it home. And then you know what? We could have changed. This whole series could change into how cats are able to rehabilitate you into trying to become part of society again. Because if you can care for a cat, you can care for other things. But no.
Well, that's also something I've heard or read online. I don't remember where I heard this first, was that some people are averse to cats because they don't have the patience to get acceptance from cats, because dogs will normally just run to you and love you. But cats, you kind of have to build a rapport with and build trust and let them come to you. So if you can get the love of a cat and you have that patience, like, you can apply those skills somewhat to other people. So Ko could learn a lot from cats.
My gosh, you know what? Ko could be learning about himself.
Ooh. Is that a sprinkle? That might be a surprise sprinkle on top.
A surprise sprinkle on top. Because if he took that cat, because he's just like it, right? First he's nasty, then he's sweet or whatever, like a Sour Patch Kid. But really, it's like sometimes it just takes a while for people to get used to a cat. Just as how he's so dedicated to, I'm a new person, I'm a Bucci now, or whatever the hell he's talking about. And it's like, okay, well, you want people to get to know you for who you are right now, just as the way that you have to do for cats. And then with, like, persistence, then you're able to build certain bonds. And I feel like he just doesn't allow people to get to that point. So sort of like a stray cat, maybe.
I just leapt to this insane conclusion of symbolism. And I know this isn't the case, but I'm just going to share it anyway because it's a fun thought. So the cat has one white paw, right?
Right.
So it's like maybe that, like, represents the pureness of who Ko was before.
Right.
And then, like, it's black all over, almost as if, like, black fur coated all of the white fur and left one white paw. So it's like kind of like this dark persona he's taken on, but like a little bit of his old self still kind of shines through.
Right. You know what? We're going with it.
We're gonna run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any banana splits?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So first of all, Makita.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You are afraid to jump, not even jump, to walk on flat rocks.
Right.
It wasn't like, it was like, type, the river wasn't like, whoo, like rushing. Like, you know, when people get salmon and stuff, right? From them. Maybe that's too big of an analogy. When people are fishing for salmon and you gotta get them upstream. And so like the water's going fast and everything, and that's where they get them. Like the river wasn't even moving like that.
Yeah.
It was fine. Like at first, before I saw the rocks, I was like, oh, they're just gonna take their shoes off and walk across. Okay. But no, they had flat rocks. And so she's like all afraid. And I'm just like, come on, girl. Really?
What if, because we know she puts on a cutesy act for boys, right? What if she was already low-key falling for Ko and she just wanted to see what he would do?
I don't know, because like I don't want that.
No, me neither.
She already commented on the fact that the way that Futaba and Ko talk to one another already comes off as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Hmm.
So at first I just thought it was like some sort of like weakness or whatever, but like even at that point, like Futaba could have done something. But you know, some, what I'm proud of Futaba for is that my mind already jumped to the conclusion, oh, she's about to like him.
Me too. I actually wrote that originally in Banana Split. I was like, oh no, is she gonna fall for him? But like then it happened, so like it's really no bother like saying that as a Banana Split.
Right. It's more of like an ice cream use. Well, if it was gonna be
it
anywhere, it's an ice cream use cream.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
But like she wasn't jealous. She didn't see that happening. And so I was sort of proud of her for not, well, maybe it's just because I'm like jaded. I'm glad that she was just like, oh, like he's just helping her. He's so nice. She wasn't like, oh, like, is she doing that act again?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have more, but do you have any banana split?
No, the only one that I had was wondering if Makita was going to fall for Ko, because it's like, it makes for some fun drama, you know? So that's why it's like split instead of full on scream. But also, you know, that sucks for our main girl.
Right. I feel like that was more ice cream for me.
Well, yeah, I was actually screaming at the end. So it's in both for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it came to... Why did I write that? I just put, oh, I wish Futaba's first inclination wasn't to lie. Maybe it was about her foot.
I think so.
But sort of about other things as well. She gets into these situations where it's just like, if you were honest in the beginning, like...
Yeah.
things could be different.
Yeah. Oh my God. It kills me.
And so it's like with the confession, she does this shit. With literally kissing his damn head, she was doing like, oh, like you're thinking too highly of yourself, which I mean, anybody would react negatively. He just kind of went off kilter with that. But still, mm-hmm. when it came to her hurting her foot, she wanted to lie. And it's just like, Futaba, stop lying. And the way I have a prediction in relation to this, but we'll get to that in Ice Cream You Scream. But okay. still, I wish her first inclination wasn't to lie. It's so fucking annoying.
It is.
And I feel like when it comes to Ko carrying her, the reason I have it in Banana Split, because it was nice, I feel like, and maybe that's bad, but I feel like they could have just waited until she couldn't take it anymore, and then he was carrying her. Because it took them, from what it looked like to me, literal hours.
Well, yeah, it turned to nighttime. Right. And they said it was, what did they say, the month of May? So, like, I don't know what daylight savings is like over there, but assuming that it wouldn't get dark till very late, that's a long time to be lost
and a long time to carry somebody. And I'm just like, y'all couldn't make a makeshift cane?
Yeah,
like with a branch,
right? There are so many branches that could be used.
Yeah, they couldn't make a makeshift cane. I personally, if I was her, I would just be like, you know what, I'll accept you doing piggyback when I really need it, just so then at that point, like, I'm not saying that her foot like wasn't hurting her, but the anxiety that she had over her weight and whatever, I would understand that, because they didn't know when they were gonna find shit. I think it would be one thing if it's like, oh, you know, we have to cross two blocks and then we'll be there, then it's like, oh, okay, fine. But they didn't know that, and so I feel like that's quite tasking. And for him, even if she wasn't heavy in the beginning, doing that shit for hours, she's heavy.
Yeah, you can hold a potato chip in your hand out for 5 minutes and it'll feel like a brick by then, you know?
Right. And like, as we saw in the last episode, it looks like he skips arm day. So it's just me, but I just wouldn't, like, we don't even know if he lifts, man. I just would have waited.
Why couldn't, like, him and Kominato take turns either? Like, if it was taking so long.
Right, that's what I was thinking too, but Kominato wasn't trying to do all that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any vested interest in her. Like, if it was morale, okay. But
yeah, absolutely.
And then the last thing that was a banana split for me is actually about the faculty again.
Uh-oh.
It's been a while. It's been a minute.
It's been a while since we've had beef with the faculty.
So it's like slight beef. It's like a fillet of beef, you know. Not deep, but there's a little bit there. I think that they should have given the students flares.
They should have. Oh my God, why didn't they?
Right. That's negligence. I think if they were going to have them do a scavenger hunt in this big ass thing of wood, that's near this big ass mountain.
On an unmarked map.
On an unmarked map. They should have given them flares and have somebody, or have like rotating shifts of people looking out for flares, so that that situation, not that it wouldn't have happened, but they would have been like, oh, they're in this location, let's go over to them.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I didn't even think about that, but you're so right.
I tried. But yeah, that's all of my banana split.
Okay. I just have two Ice Cream You Scream.
Oh, same.
Of course, one of them is the internal and external screaming of Makita texting Futaba at the very moment she realizes she's in love with Ko, that she is also falling for him.
It's like, I just knew that shit was coming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, girl, as much as it irritates me, because she literally commented within the same episode that they sound like boyfriend and girlfriend. But they also said no. And if you take people literally, but anyway, the reason why it irritated me, but then I got it, is because no one is ever nice to this girl. Nobody is ever nice to this girl. And she's experiencing niceness like firsthand.
Yeah.
And he went out of his way to help her. So of course, because she doesn't have as much experience with people, it's easy to see why she'd fall for the first person that did something really nice for her when she was super afraid, even if her fear was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just really unfortunate, because I guess it's something that Makita is going to have to learn in time. That just because somebody is nice to you doesn't mean that you should try to start a romantic relationship with them.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a friendship with them, and maybe or maybe not, that will blossom into something else. But, like, I can understand her, like, excitement and maybe misconstruing feelings.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's where it ends up ending, other before it gets too muddy.
No, I feel like my prediction, not that we do predictions, but but what we didn't see the next episode. My prediction is kind of going back to that banana split I said about Futaba's first inclination to lie. I think she's going to lie and say that it's okay, but it's not okay. So then, you know, Ko likes to do mixed signal shit anyway. I feel like he's going to be messing with her head, and then he's also going to be confused as to why she's allowing it to happen, but then wanting her to do something, and then she's going to be confused because, you know, I mean, he said like 80,000 times about how he doesn't want to be with her, he doesn't like her, she's cheap, she's this, she's that. So maybe that will get into her head. And if they end up, I don't know, dating, or if something comes out of it because he's trying to goad Futaba into doing something, then Makita will end up hurt because Futaba lied instead of telling the truth when she had the chance.
Yeah, and that also makes me wonder if, in the worst way, this is going to turn into the classic, well, I'm gonna date her to make you jealous. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's nasty. I feel like he's gonna do that.
Yeah. The fact that I could see it happening does not bode well for, I guess, whatever internal ranking system I'm gonna have as we watch these animes.
Right.
But I don't like him. I mean, we're 5 episodes in.
Right.
We're gonna be halfway through. So I don't like that I don't like our male lead almost halfway through.
Right, same.
I just have one more I Scream, You Scream.
Oh, same.
It's just a quote, and I didn't have time to fully unpack it, but I just had a visceral reaction of anger when they're outside before the sunrise, and this is before they get everybody to come out, and Futaba is like, the sky is just like you. I can't tell if you're nice or not. And like, that's valid.
Right.
And then he turns around and says, the sky is just like you. I can't tell if you're incompetent or capable.
I'm telling you,
Yeah, no, yeah. I think, honestly, whatever I just said before I said this Ice Cream, You Scream is my feelings on it. I don't like that I am almost at the halfway point of this anime, and I don't like our male lead. Like, what a dick.
I just don't. He's a dick. There's too many mixed signals. I'd rather he be ambiguous than be a dick. Although being ambiguous sucks, but at least he's not just being like an asshole. He's totally like, I'm not gonna bet money. Bet whatever. Guys, if you're listening to this episode and you're listening to this particular section, put money bags in our comment section, because we're betting on if the next episode. We're betting money emojis on if he's going to decide to use Makita to make Futaba jealous.
Ugh.
But I totally see it happening. And then the other Ice Cream, You Scream that I have is, I don't think she actually likes him. Or I don't think that she knows him, which is the reason why she said she likes him. You don't know him. Just knowing aspects or things about him doesn't mean that you know him. Sometimes it takes like years. Even if you like somebody, it takes years for you to truly like know someone inside out.
Oh yeah.
And on top of that, people change all of the time. But for her to like him, and it's like, you like when he's good to you, but how often is he good to you?
Right. Oh my gosh. That is something that like she needs to sit down and journal about or reflect on.
Yeah.
Like, you have all of these feelings and they're clouding your judgment, but at the end of the day, you need to revisit the facts, because the facts are the only thing that matter.
Right. And like, for me, the way that I see it panning out, right? And I feel like we're probably going to have to go to the manga for this with the amount of episodes we have left. But the way that I see this panning out, it looks as if he has to resolve whatever issue he has with his family in order to be in a proper relationship with her. And I don't think that should be her responsibility. It's not her responsibility to change him to wanting to come close to whatever family that he has in order for him to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
He should just want to be with her. And on top of that, even if somebody's like changed, if you like somebody, if you care about them, or even if you cared about them in the past, I guess, depending on how things go, we're going to go off of their relationship. Outside of her saying she hates boys, she never did anything harmful towards him. So for me, it's just like, okay, based off of that memory, he should still be just nice to her. He doesn't have to have that Jekyll Hyde bullshit of saying she's cheap or saying she's incapable or incompetent or stupid or annoying. He's saying all of these mean things, even when she's like technically changing herself for the better.
Yeah, like she's making progress and he's not.
Right, to the point that even when he was in AP whatever, like he didn't even care enough to fix that, fix his grades. So now he's in the regular class.
Oh, wait, I meant to say, do you think he dropped down classes to be in her class? Because I think so.
Doesn't Tanaka-sensei go over those classes? Or did I make that up?
The special classes?
Right. Does he teach the honors classes?
I don't know. I might have missed that.
I feel like I might have missed it. I would say if his brother is teaching it, he did it to get away from him. Like, not did it. He decided to flunk out or not do as well to get away from him.
That's rough.
Yeah, which I feel like it's just like stupid. I don't know what idea you want to do once you get out of high school, but it's very important, especially in like, or at least it's very important in Japan, do whatever you do well in high school to determine what college or what track you're going to go to. And to just mess that up because you're getting back at your brother for what? Something like we don't know yet. I think that that's stupid. Also, if he dropped down to be in class with her, that's also stupid. Why would you ruin, well, we kind of got into this with Whisper of the Heart, but why would you ruin?
Oh, we sure did.
Would you ruin your chances of getting into a good school for a potential partner and you're not even with them? Dumb, big dumb. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing of it is, like, I wouldn't put it past him because he is so blasé about everything. He even says, like, I'm half baked. I don't care. Like, maybe it's a lie. I don't know. But I don't know if he cares.
I feel like it's not even that he doesn't care. I feel like he's trying to punish his family by punishing himself. But he doesn't realize that he's just hurting himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, that's it on my end, too. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Shoujo Sunday this week. Next week, we will be recapping the next few episodes of Blue Spring Ride. If you would like to keep up with us, be sure to give us a follow on the podcast platform that you are listening on. And if you really enjoyed this week's episode or any previous episodes, think about leaving us a 5-star review. It really, really super helps us out to get us noticed and bring more Shoujo fans into our little Sunday shop. If you would like to keep up with us during the week, you can follow us at Shoujo Sunday across all socials. And me personally, I am Gianna Luna, and you can find me at Gianna_Luna_ across socials, and that's Gianna with one N. How about you, Chica?
You can follow me at Chica Supreme, and that's Chica with a K and not two C's. I'd also like to ask, if it's not too much for you guys, you know, aside from leaving money bags in our comment section, you know, if y'all could send us a kind word, we would be so appreciative of that, because low-key, like, we don't say it, but me and Gianna be going through a lot of shit.
Yeah, behind the scenes, real life has been kind of kicking our asses.
Like, hard as fucking hell. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right. So it's like, you know, you don't have to like give us like a whole laundry list of what you like. You could just be like, oh, well, you know what, Gianna, I like how you laugh at certain things. Or Chica, you know what, it's so funny how frustrated you get during Ice Cream You Scream. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we're just happy to hear from you, honestly. Like, no essay needed. It would really cheer us up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So please do that. We'd be so happy to see that. Aside from you guys, like, rating us 5 stars, especially on Apple Podcasts, guys, please. Like, rate us 5-star and, like, leave a review if you're, like, extra cute. You want to leave us, actually, if you want to leave us an essay of what you like, please go on Apple Podcasts and rate us 5-star.
The perfect place to do it.
Right. The perfect place to just get into all the things that you like about the podcast. We'd be so happy to see that. But yeah, you know, send a little kind word. We'd appreciate it and we'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think with that, we'll catch up with y'all next week for our next recap of Blue Spring Ride.
Okay.
We will see you then.
Bye. Bye.